Good morning, church. How are we? All right, man. What a joy it is to see you. If I haven't met you, my name is Matt, one of the pastors over at our Aledo congregation. So I bring you greetings from them this morning. I just got done preaching over there and got to drive over here. I love this one church thing, specifically just for how we're able to like be in this together, meaning Pastor Lucas is at our Aledo congregation. They're wrapping up the gathering. He led us in worship this morning to give our worship leader, Trin, a chance to step back and actually worship alongside his family, and then just being able to be over here and drive over and share God's word. So welcome. What a joy it is. I'm going to kick off with anybody ever seen Ferris Bueller? Raise your hand. Yeah. Maybe this is going to, I feel safe here because 2 weeks ago I looked at your sermon slides and Pastor Ryan opened with a Lil Wayne quote. So I figured I'm safe here with Ferris Bueller. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. Would anybody agree that just time flies? Like, just raise your hand, just a show of hands. If you're like, man, time flies. Life moves so quickly, and if we're not careful, we're going to blink, and it is going to be gone. Our time will be gone. So because time flies and we've got so many things that we aspire to do, we want to accomplish so much, we've got to do all of these things and we've got to get moving. We got to get going, and we've learned to live an extremely fast-paced life. We've adapted. You've probably read books on being more efficient. You've probably even listened to podcasts on how to be more productive in your time. One time I had a person handed me a book, 99 Ways to Simplify Your Life. And I'm like, I'm just trying to do one thing, you know? Just one thing. But we've all read the books, heard the podcast on how to become more productive. I think we've become multitasking wizards. Meaning, because time is flying by, we've learned how to do it all at the same time. Picture yourself in the kitchen. Are you even living if the office isn't on the TV while you're cooking dinner? And while you have the office on and you're cooking dinner, you also have your laptop pulled up and you're replying to an email at work because it's after hours, you got this email notification went off, and so therefore you need to reply. And then on top of that, your little red, I cannot stand the red notifications, so I'm terrible at this. I finally just turned them all off. Your notifications go off. You've got 17 group messages you're in. You got your DraftKings message. You got this community group message. You have all of these messages that are just going off. That was very specific, so my apologies. 17 group messages that you're a part of. And then, like, that's a lot. Then you throw kids into the mix. Little Sarah just got bit by little Johnny because Johnny stole the iPad and wanted to watch his show. So now you have to step in. You have to discipline. So all this noise is taking place. And Andrew's over there, your oldest. He's just getting ready for his basketball practice. He's got 3 practices this week, an hour and a half minimum. Coach says we got a tournament coming up, so we gotta get going. Also, it's community group that night. All of this is happening. And if you're not living this type of fast-paced lifestyle, then I think we've been duped to think that we're falling behind. There's so much happening. If you're not able to just keep up with this, then my goodness, you're going to fall behind. Like, I think we feel this, don't we? You feel that tension there, in all of life, in work, if you're not moving up the ladder constantly, if you're not making more sales, if you're not doing more than all of the other employees, you feel like you're going to get left behind. So what do? You work longer hours. You reply to emails at 9 o'clock. You work on the weekends so that you can get ahead. What a lie. You'll never be ahead, but that's what we do. We've convinced ourselves. How about in your hobbies? This is interesting. What is supposed to be just a time of release or whatever you want to look at with your hobby, just a time to relax? If you're not reading more books than you did last year, like you've put this unmet quota on your life of like, man, I need to read more than I did last year. If you're not shooting below 100 on the course, you should just give up like me and Pastor Ryan. But in golf, I was knocking both of us. We played enough together. It's out of love. But really, like in this hobby, if you're not shooting below 100 on the course, if you're not progressing quicker than your friends are at something, you're falling behind. You've got to find more ways to be efficient, to do more. You've got to keep up. But I thought it was just a hobby. But that's what we do, every area of life. Hey, how about in driving? If your goal isn't to beat the ETA that Waze has given you, what are you doing with your life, right? It tells me 8:52. By gosh, I'll be there at 8:50. And if I'm not, whoever was helping me navigate, it's their fault. Or how about with parenting? Maybe sports is something that you're into with your kids. If your kid isn't making straight A's, are you even a good parent? Like, do you wrestle with that? If your kid doesn't make the A team, will they even make it as an adult? We got to keep up with everyone around us. That other family has their kids playing multiple sports and doing on multiple teams. They're doing private lessons. We need to do private lessons. We need more practices because, as the great Ricky Bobby says, if you ain't first, you're last. Our time is spent going 90 to nothing, doing all of these things, and we just drag, in parenting, we drag our kids along from one thing to the next. We convince ourselves that we're doing it for them, but I don't know if that's really the case. We say things like, we just want to afford our kids an opportunity, so we put them in everything, and we're tired, and we're going, trying to keep up. Y'all, time is flying by. There's nothing that you can do or I could do to create more of it. That's the one thing in life. If you want more money, go take a second job. You can always make more money. If you want more friends, you can probably go out there and find you some more friends. You can't go out and find time anywhere. The time that has been given to you is that. And that's the tension that we live in. Life is fast. We have so much to do. We must be efficient, so we pack it all in. I think most of us, if we're honest, we feel this tension that we live in, and we wonder and hope for a better way. Some of your anxiety spiked as I read through this stuff, and you're like, yes, I already have this, and I know I need to do this. As great as all of the podcasts that maybe you've listened to or any books or blogs that you've read on how to become a very efficient and live your life to the fullest, I want to put before us this morning just a simple truth from one of the wisest men to ever live, Solomon. He says, as Natalie read, the slacker craves, yet has nothing, but the diligent is fully satisfied. Now, we could certainly go at the angle of work here, right? Like, we could do that. If you recall, if you've been around back in the summer, we did that Proverbs and Psalms series. We looked at a collection of Proverbs and what does it mean to work wisely as unto the Lord. So this verse certainly can apply to the area of work, not being a slacker, being diligent. But I want us to consider this question. What does it look like for you to be diligent with your time? Diligent, to be aware, to be careful, to be attentive with the time that God has given you. Two things I want us to see this morning. One, I think it's pretty obvious. I've already pretty well mentioned it, but we have to acknowledge this. Time is a gift from God. If you can't make anything else and you can't earn it, we have to acknowledge that it's coming from somebody, Creator. It's a gift. Psalm 39 says, Lord, make me aware of my end, number in the number of my days, so that I will know how short-lived I am. In fact, you've made my days just inches long, and my lifespan is as nothing to you. Yes, every human being stands as only a vapor. Yes, a person goes about like a mere shadow. Indeed, they rush around in vain, gathering possessions without knowing who will get them. Now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Psalmist says, make us aware. Our entire lifetime is just a moment to God. He says we're just merely shadows, just moving shadows. And all of our busy and rushing around for the things of this world will end in nothing. Solomon, that's Psalm. Solomon now says, the slacker craves, yet has nothing. Being diligent with your time acknowledges that time is a gift from God. You've received that from God. And the second thing is being diligent with your time leads you. And you can receive that gift and realize that, man, we're just a vapor. Like, time is flying. When you can receive that, acknowledge that gift from God, then being diligent with your time leads to a life where you are fully satisfied in Him. The psalmist says, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Solomon says, the diligent are fully satisfied. Hope is in you. The diligent are fully satisfied in Him. Like, this all sounds amazing, right? Like, I think most of you would say, that sounds great. I want to recognize time as a gift, and I get what you are saying. I also think most of us want to live a fully satisfied life. I think we don't walk around aimlessly all the time. I think sometimes, as a slacker, we do, and we're like, man, we're just kind of going through this life, and we're doing this, and we're just really busy. It's just a busy season of life. I want to be fully satisfied. So the question now is, how do you live a life like this? How do we learn to live a life that is fully satisfied in Jesus? One thing I'll unpack. I think it's very simple. We learn to be with Jesus. It's a simple call, but one that is totally radical. We learn to be with Jesus. I think we do so much that we forget to just be. If you're like me, most of my ministry, now married 17 years in August, so let's just say 17, 18 years of just trying my best to walk faithfully for the Lord and to do things unto Him, I'm okay to say this. A lot of my time in ministry, as I look back, was more of just me doing for. Like, God needs me. And so therefore, I'm going to work and I'm going to do these things. And I missed the one thing is the first thing, that He just wants me to be with Him. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need me. But I have convinced myself over the years that He needs me. It's bottom of the ninth, two outs. He needs me. We learn to be with Jesus. So I think we do so much that we forget to just be. And I think the better way for each of us, if we want to be diligent with our time, and if we really want to be satisfied in Him, fully satisfied, then we need to learn, what does it mean to be with Jesus? Well, that just simply means to be aware of His presence, to be attentive to His voice. You just had like 3 or 4 minutes of just this dialogue in your confession of sin and your congregational prayer, just like talking back and forth and learning to be attentive to His voice. Or as Jesus would teach, He would say, you learn to abide in Him, to remain, to stay, to be diligent, to dwell. Do not ever leave there. Be diligent with Jesus. And that's a beautiful phrase, learn to be with Jesus, that comes with a beautiful promise. What is the promise of being with Him? You'll be fully satisfied. You'll have more than enough. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His posture is always leaning into you. There's never this doubt of like, man, Matt, he really blew that one again today. And he gets disappointed at me. No, no, no. He's always moving towards me, pursuing my heart. And the promise is you'll be fully satisfied in him. There's also, though, a promise for when we're not with him. Solomon says, the slacker craves, yet he has nothing. The slacker craves, yet has nothing. Now, I think wisdom steps in here and it reminds us that God isn't asking us to do something you're not already doing. And here's what I mean by that. You are not created to worship. You've heard us say this for years. You are created worshiping. At all times, we are worshiping something. So that means we're already abiding in something, if you want to use the phrase that Jesus says, abide in me. We're already abiding, we're already worshiping something. So there's not like this puzzle piece that you got to find or this thing, the secret thing that you got to do. God's not asking you to do something. He knows that you were created worshiping. He made you. He gave you those passions. So you're already worshiping something, and whatever you're worshiping or abiding in is going to determine the fruit of your life. So if you're rooted, abiding, dwelling, being diligent, or being a slacker in your time, in the mindless scrolling of social media, it's going to form you. More than likely, it'll form you into some anxious presence that you have. You'll be distracted. You'll be angry. Or arrogant as you play the comparison game. Angry because you don't have what the other people's posts have. I think that's what social media does such a good job of, drawing us into this comparison game, and you scroll through aimlessly. I'll put myself in that category. You scroll through aimlessly and you look at other people's, go to Instagram, for example. You look at other people's photos. How many filters are there now? There's hundreds of filters. And you see like this perfect family photo. Kids are smiling. Look, I've done a lot of family portraits over the year. Everyone, I have threatened my kids. It is a manufactured photo. If you don't smile, I promise you, we are not going back to the beach tomorrow, or you know, whatever it is. That's the beach photos. Comparison game, man. Like when you get caught up in that, you're just like, man, I wish I had this, or I wish my family looked like this, or I wish I had more of this. You become anxious, like you're getting left behind, anxious about how many likes that you get. And maybe it's not social media. Maybe it potentially is rooted in other media, like the news, however you find your news. Maybe it's binge watching, streaming. All of that stuff will form you, shape you as well. If it's streaming, potentially that opens up the door for lustful desires. If it's news and all you're seeing are these headlines of just doomsday, then man, you're going to be restless. You just keep scrolling, you keep watching, you keep doing whatever. All of these things that we give our time and energy and attention to, they're keeping us. They're keeping you from being fully present and satisfied in Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you can't enjoy any of that. And this is not a legalistic message where I'm saying don't do that. I'm saying, are you rooted in it? Are you abiding in it, in those devices? Are they forming you more than the person of Jesus? Those things that you run to, the idols of our hearts, always leave you wanting more. I think there's a book in the Old Testament about that, about idols. We should preach through it one day. Judges? Nope. All right, moving on. I mean, we saw that whole narrative play out. idols, just totally overpromised and under-delivered. And what Solomon says, one of the wisest men to live, he says, the slacker craves, yet has nothing. So when we run to those things, when we waste our time, our energy on those things, then we're left with nothing. It's a famous quote from Pilgrim's Progress. It says, an idle man's brain is the devil's workshop. Solomon says, the slacker craves, but he's idle. He's daydreaming. His time is wasted, and that's a dangerous place to be. It's the devil's workshop. He goes on and he talks about fighting the idle brain with prayer or being with Jesus. And he says this, prayer, I would say being with Jesus, prayer, opens the heart to God, and it is the means by which the soul, though empty, is filled with God. The diligent are fully satisfied. I think if we would learn to just be with Jesus, to be rooted in him, to abide in him, to stay, to be diligent, to remain in him, y'all, the promise is that we will be fully satisfied. And the fruit of that's beautiful. Think about Galatians. Love and joy and peace and patience. Kindness with one another. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The diligent are fully satisfied. Now, I know some of us might hear this invitation of being with Jesus, and we get a little worried about that. We get a little uneasy because we know that if we slow down enough, that's when life gets quiet. And when it's quiet, we are scared of what the quiet might have to offer. So it sounds great. I'd love to be with Jesus, but that means I need to quiet my heart. I need to still be still. I need to not be going so fast and living, you know, unwisely in how I'm managing my time. But if we slow down, we're scared that the quiet is just going to offer words of discouragement. Because when it's quiet, we hear things like, I'm inadequate. I'm not enough. I'm a disappointment. When it's quiet, we hear phrases like, I'm unlovely. I'm unwanted. I'm not enough. And I am such a letdown. I am such a failure. Maybe you've even heard, you're a mistake. Family, those are all lies. Every one of those are lies. And the enemy is really good at whispering those lies to us. He's really good at making us think that those words are actually what the Father thinks about us. And it's in those quiet moments that we're convinced if we would just run to anything but the one who actually loves us, then we'll be satisfied. So that's why we go to those things. Those things will continue to chew us up and spit us out. Those are lies from the enemy. And in the quiet, we need to learn to fight those lies with the truth of the gospel. That no, you are loved. As I said earlier, the Father's leaning into you. You are pursued. He died for you. You are beautiful and lovely, created in the image of the Father. You've been gifted His Spirit as a believer. You've been adopted. That means when nobody else wanted you, he stepped in and said, no, I want him. He's mine. She's mine. The diligent are fully satisfied in Jesus, and Jesus in return says, just abide in me. Stay with me. Remain in me. I said it earlier, but Jesus isn't asking you to do something new, right? Like the Father gave you your heart. He knows it inside and out better than anyone. And so the invitation isn't some complex formula. It's not how he works. He's not out to trick you or to confuse you. I believe he's inviting you and me to just slow down, to simplify our lives around some very basic truths. This has been radically shaping my life over the last, specifically the last 12 months of what God's doing. Basic truth is this: be with him, and the more you're with him, he promises the beautiful result, and the result is this: the more you're with him, the more you're going to become like him. And the more you're with him, the more you become like him, guess what? Then the more you're going to start to do as he did. The question then becomes, are you willing to be diligent with your time? Are you willing, put it a little bit more clear, are you willing to unhurry your life so that you can be with him? I get it. You're an important person. You have a lot of things happening. You've got a lot of meetings to schedule. You've got a lot of things to do. There's a lot of people counting on you. Are you willing to unhurry your life so that you can just be with Jesus? You see, the slacker craves that, but he's left with nothing but daydreams, or as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians, running aimlessly, boxing at the air, just moving through life so fast that you miss what God has for you. Just wasting time, just chasing things. The culture is going to convince us that are more important things for you to do. The diligent, however, they're fully satisfied because they're learning to be with Jesus. They're abiding in him. They're remaining, staying, dwelling with, attentive to the voice of God, aware of the Father's presence with them. Now, I started a few moments ago with some real problems that we all feel. We live at a pace that's just too fast. I'd venture to say you probably walked in the doors this morning a bit tired and weary. It's because we don't have good margins anymore. There's a reason Psalm 23 is probably one of your favorite verses. I know it is one of mine. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. And he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He lets me lie down. He doesn't say, I'll let you lie down when you do this. This is the good shepherd. If you're one of his, he knows your name. You know his voice. And the good shepherd leads you along by quiet waters, green pastures, and he lets you lie down. Slacker in all of us crave that. We want that so bad. We strive to do so much in life for God to achieve this. Like, we want that. But the diligent learn to just be satisfied with where they're at in Jesus. There's a reason so many of us love the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I might give you rest if you do enough for me. Nope. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I think the slacker in all of us craves that. We daydream about that. We want that so bad. We strive to do so much for God to earn this, but the diligent are just satisfied when they're with Jesus, and they see that as an invitation to just be with the Son. So the invitation isn't to do things for him. The invitation, as I said at the beginning, is to be with him. But as I kind of close and think about that, there is, I want to put before you, there is a true reality to being with Jesus. It's a great cost to being with him. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking with his disciples. He just explained to him, predicted his death and his resurrection. And then he looks at his disciples and he says, if anyone wants to follow me, if anyone wants to follow after me, if anyone wants to come and be with me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I asked you a minute ago, are you willing to unhurry your life so you can be with him? Are you willing to die to yourself? Are you willing to live truly, in our day and age, a countercultural life? Like this goes against the grain. Go out, do more, earn more, prove yourself. And Jesus says, hey, I'll take care of all of your needs. I'll even let you lie down in green pastures and beside still, quiet waters. Hey, if you'll just come to me, I'll carry that weight for you. I'll walk this out with you. But that means you got to unhurry your life. And to unhurry your life means, man, I need to deny some things in my own life. I need to take up my cross. I need to follow after him. Are you willing to slow down enough and just be with God? You see, the invitation for you is to not live a life of busyness. I'm not trying to tell you to go out there and do more. And we don't fix a slacker's heart with doing more things. We actually fix it by being diligent and being with the only one who can fix it. We become fully satisfied in Christ. And when this happens, I can assure you, every relationship changes. How you work, how you parent, within your marriage, when we are diligent and fully satisfied in him, every relationship changes. Close with, go back to Matthew. Right before where he says, if anyone wants to follow me, chapter 16, he's with his disciples. And to kind of tell you how much he wants to be with you, he's with his disciples. And he asks this question. Hey, who do they say that I am? Like, who's everybody say that I am? What are y'all hearing? Tell me what you're hearing. I want to hear more. What are you hearing? They say, well, some say this and some say that. He's like, who do you say that I am? He leans in a very intimate, personal way with the ones that he loves and he's walked life with, his disciples, his friends, and he leans in and he says, but who do you say that I am? What an invitation that the Son of God would look at you and lean in and just, who do you say that I am? And if you can answer that question, do the heart work and figure out, like, who is Jesus to you? And you can walk away and say, man, I'm his. Jesus is the Lord of my life. Then what you are promised is to be fully satisfied in him. But friend, if you're here today and you don't know how to answer that question, I want you so badly to experience life to the fullest, to know what it means to be fully satisfied, to know that your Savior's leaning into you. And he's saying, no. I'll carry that for you. I'll carry all of those burdens, all of those failures that you think I can't use. I'll carry all of the mistakes. I'll carry all of the things and harm that were done to you or that you've done to others. I'll carry all of that. I just want to invite you to just be with me. What an invitation for you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the gift of your church, that we get a chance to be here, to gather, to pray and sing your word and hear your word, to read it. What a joy it is, Lord, to just know that you're present amongst us. What an invitation that you allow us to be fully satisfied in you today. We're just with you as you are with us. No secret formula, just a beautiful presence of your Holy Spirit with us. Present counselor in the moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making a way for us back to your Father. And Holy Spirit, as we enter into a time of just response, Lord, would you work in our hearts? Would we answer that question? Maybe we need to start with, who do we say that you are? Some of us, maybe we need to start with, am I willing to unhurry my life to just be with you? That might be pretty radical. There might be some things that need to shift and change in our life. Would we not just be caught daydreaming today, but instead would we be diligent in our time and fully satisfied in you? What a beautiful invitation, Jesus. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.